Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Speedy Digest as we have an awesome show tonight for you all. And it's also our second to last show. So before we get to our news topic, I'm going to ask Joseph and Glenn about their day and evening and about their week. So how are you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing well, brotherly. How are you doing? We miss you.
I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. I've been tons of busy lately.
I want to say one thing quickly. I just saw in Associated Press just learned that AJ Foyt, four-time Indy 500 winner, just had a heart attack. So hopefully he's doing okay, and hopefully he recovers and gets back to being healthy.
Whoa, okay, I'm on it. I'm on it right now.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. I mean, school's very tiring. Thankfully, the end of the season this year. But you know what? It's going to be a great weekend. I'm ready to get started.
I am too. Anyway, we're going to dive into our show tonight, and that is Eric Jones captured the victory at the Phoenix International Raceway this past weekend in that Truck Series race. And it was an odd one, to say the least, because you had the light issue there that delayed the race for a little over an hour. And then with about 26 laps to go, about 25, 26 laps to go, the lights went out again, but while the trucks were racing under a green flag, and a scary situation, but luckily no one was injured or anyone wrecked during that, and they got the trucks all back to pit road safely. And, you know, some of the drivers after the race said that they should have went back green, but NASCAR and the track didn't know if the problem would occur again, and so they decided to just call the race. And first of all, I'm going to send it off to you boys, and what do you guys think of the truck race? And my question for you is, do you guys think they should have went back green, even though that there was a possibility that the lights could have went out all of a sudden once again?
Well, I had to leave not before the halfway mark for the race because I was hanging out with my friend. But the race itself was pretty good from what I understand. Eric Jones is flat-out dominant. And even if they did go back green, no one was beating Eric Jones on Friday night. He had the dominant truck. The only other driver to lead laps was his teammate, Darrell Wallace Jr. So when you think about it, and it's been like this all year long, Kyle Busch Motorsports was going to dominate the rest of that race. But I don't think they needed to go back green, really. I mean, they should have, considering it's a night race and it's Friday night. There was only one Cup driver in the field. There wasn't really much of a reason for them not to go into the next into a few hours later, if need be. I mean, they probably only would have needed to go another hour or so. So I think that they should have went back green for sure. But Matt Crafton basically locked up his championship now. He only needs a 21st place finish or better this weekend at Homestead, which should be pretty simple for him since he's getting top tens every single week. And what else can you say about Cole Custer? He struggled during qualifying, and he qualified 19th. Guess what? He came back to finish third. That was pretty impressive for him. And he's just showing every single time that he's on the track that he's capable of running well. In 2014 K&M Pro Series East champion Ben Rhodes, he finished in the top five. He got fifth place finish in the 32 truck. I think he'll be going nationwide racing from what I understand next year. So that'll be interesting to see how he does there. And comparing him to Dylan Kwasniewski, I think he's going to have a better year than Dylan Kwasniewski, if you guys agree with that. And we'll talk about that later on. And John Hunter Nemechek, he's going to be running the majority of the season next year once he turns 18. he's going to be running the full schedule. So his dad's going to be running a part of the first half of the season, running some nationwide races and probably some cup ones too. Dylan ran for NTS Motorsport team, finished in the top 10 this weekend. But the one guy I was really interested to watch was Brandon Jones. Brandon Jones is going to be running a full-time deal next year of GMS Racing. It looks like they're going to be a three-truck operation, Joey Coulter, Spencer Gallagher, and Brandon Jones. And Brandon is one of those drivers that's just not consistent enough. And you see that in the ARCA series, you see that in K&N, where he wins a race every now and then, but he should be doing more in the equipment that he's in. So I think that it's a little questionable giving him a full-time deal, but if he has money, go for it.
All right, and some interesting stuff. You know, I thought the truck race was pretty good myself. You know, I felt like they could have probably finished out under green, but you know, I think it'd been interesting to see if Matt Crafton had anything for it, Jones. But, you know, I think it's also pretty funny that that this was the fifth time that Matt Crafton finished second, or I'm sorry, the fourth time that Matt Crafton finished second behind the number 51 Toyota. I mean, gotta be pretty interesting right there. But
Well, you have to think about it this way. Chevrolets have not been quick at all this year. The only Chevrolet that I've seen that has speed on a consistent basis is that 32 truck and the 00. Ron Hornaday was probably going to win a race, but he didn't even have the chance to. And even the Fords, the Brad Keselowski Racing teammates, they haven't been as strong as it seems. I mean, yeah, Ryan Blaney's second in points. Tyler Reddick's running in the top 10 every single week now that he's getting familiar with driving the truck series. But you have to remember, these guys they don't have Toyota engines, and Toyota clearly has the dominating force in the truck series.
Yeah, right. You know what? I saw the truck race, and I thought it was pretty good. And, you know, a lot of fans wanted to see the race go back green. I'm actually kind of glad that it didn't, because the track is working off of emergency power, all right? And so although the front stretch, you know, definitely had some lights there, the back stretch was too dark. And, you know, what happens if, you know, they take the green flag and all of a sudden all the lights go out? Now what do? Now you're going to have a bunch of wrecked trucks. Now you're probably going to have, you know, a bunch of mayhem and stuff like that. So I think in this situation, I'm glad that NASCAR decided to play it safe and just, you know, go ahead and call it. I mean, with 24 laps of racing to go, pretty much it was Eric Jones' race ever since he led the race. After the championship, Max Crafton needs to finish 21st or better, but also, you know, he's got to be very perfect here, you know, because if he finishes getting lower than 21st, Ryan Blaney can sneak in there and take his title. If it comes down to it, if it comes down to these two fighting each other in the back, I don't know who's going to win this title, but I definitely think Crafton has the advantage. And even if it went to a tiebreaker, should Ryan Blaney win the race and tie for points, Crafton would take the title because he has 13 top fives as of right now, compared to Ryan Blaney's 11 top fives.
Some interesting stuff. And now we're going to move over into the NASCAR Nationwide Series race at the Phoenix International Raceway, where we did not see the driver who led the most laps win. But Brad Keselowski comes out of nowhere at the end to snatch the victory away from Kyle Busch. And it was certainly a great race all evening, or all night, or all day long. And but, you know, it kind of the day of fires, since we had a night full of lights going out. So what do you guys think of the Nationwide race on Saturday afternoon?
It was fantastic, I thought. I mean, the race itself wasn't the greatest until the very end, where you saw Kyle Busch, who, like you said, had the dominating car. He didn't have the best of restarts, Brad Keselowski on old tires, no less, on old tires, mind you, was able to get out in front and hold off Kyle Busch for that victory. I mean, he gave the 22 team basically the championship right then and there for the owner's title. But that's not the biggest story, obviously. The biggest story is that Chase Elliott locked up this championship as an 18-year-old. He's younger than the three of us, and we're not even in our mid-20s yet, you know? So it's pretty crazy that he was able to do that at such a young age and do so in dominating fashion. I mean, the season is not even over yet, and this kid is flat-out dominating. You see it each and every week. He starts out the weekend a little bit struggling, but then Greg Eisen and he are able to work through that and persevere to get a top-10 finish. He has 16 top fives and 26 top tens this year. Do you want to know what his average finish is this year? 7.8 for a Nationwide Series rookie driver. That's not even normal. Like, that's just unbelievable that he's able to do that. But guess what? Now the pressure is on, and he's going to have a lot to talk to go about next year. And if he doesn't perform expectations next year, people are going to be like, oh, he's not as good as everyone thought. But you know what? That's not true. He's going to be working for the new crew chief next year. He's going to be having different people on his team. And he's going to even be making a jump to the Cup Series next year on a part-time basis. So you know what? I'm expecting Chase Elliott to have even a bigger year next year. And then Elliott Sadler, getting ready to move to Roush Family Racing next year. He finished third this weekend. He had a very good run at Phoenix. He was the highest finishing Nationwide regular. He was very consistent throughout the race. He didn't have the fastest car by any means necessary, and at points during the long green flag runs, he was over 10 seconds behind Kyle Busch in third place. That's just how fast Kyle Busch was throughout the day. So it's another second place finish for Kyle Busch, which is very disappointing for him. But at the same time, it's like, okay, you know what? Even if he did win, it's not going to go towards the owner championship that much. He would have barely closed the gap. And it's not the same as last year, though. The 22 team is a lot larger of an advantage. Hey, it's a homestead. And they're even entering Ryan Blaney in the second car this weekend to make sure that they lock up the championship.
So that's pretty good strategy. I thought the Nationwide race was pretty decent. It was a good pass at the end there with Brad passing Kyle. And I'll tell you one thing. Many fans like to see an upset with the Kyle Busch show, and they got to see it. And of course, you know, Chase Elliott locking up the title. That is just fantastic. That just shows how well and how good JR Motorsports has become. I mean, they started not too long ago. They didn't have much to go off of. I mean, Brad was their driver for a while. And this has been the closest that they've been to getting the title. And look at this. One and two in the point standings are JR Motorsports stars. For Chase Elliott next year, yes, there is going to be a lot of pressure. But you know what? If he doesn't let that pressure get to him and just, you know, focus on the task at hand, another year of Nationwide is going to do him really well. So when he moves up into the Cup Series come 2016, Chase Elliott is going to give Kyle Larson a run for his money.
Anything else?
Yeah, I just want to have one point. I think that Jeremy Clements, who finished 11th at Phoenix, which is by far one of his best runs this year, besides the road course race at Road America where he finished 6th, I think that little team has a lot to be looking forward to next year if they decide to keep running full-time. And Alex Bowman, he didn't have the run he wanted. He was in the top five throughout the race. He was running very strong, contending for a win at one point, but then he ran out of fuel. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens to Alex Bowman next year. Rumors have it that he's going to be in it's going to be the 88 car next year instead of the 5, but he's going to be in that car a lot more next year. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do in that car. And then McKenna Bell, she made her nationwide debut, as we discussed last week, and we all had differing opinions on that. But she finished 29th, was the last car running. She finished 8 laps down for Rick Ware Racing. I was curious, what do you guys think of that? Because this team usually finishes about 5 laps down or so, right around the Jamie Dick, Joey Gase range with Eric McClure. But instead, they finished 2 laps behind those guys who are the back of the pack drivers usually.
Well, I mean, it's interesting you brought that up. And, you know, I thought, you know, it was her debate. You know, so she was just out there learning. It'll be interesting to see, though, if they give her another opportunity and try and make it better. But I don't know. But we'll just have to wait and see what they do. But certainly it was interesting having her in the race. And, you know, hopefully she gets another opportunity so she can show even more what she has. Anything else? All right, we're going to move over into the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series side over at Phoenix, where we ran the computer. Anyway, the Quicken Loans race for Heroes 500K, which was only 312 laps, 312 miles on the 1 mile Phoenix International Raceway. Kevin Harvey grabbed the victory and save his chase hope that he advanced. And I thought this was a very good race. And what do you guys think of it?
Oh, wow. Well, it was just an unbelievable race. There was so much anxiety throughout the day. I'm actually doing a little writing right now, and I'm discussing about Ryan Newman, how he made one of the boldest moves in the sport's history when you think about it. He was just doing a fantastic job with what he did. I mean, at the end of the day, when you have a championship on the line and you're an underdog, you have no choice but to go for it. And I don't blame Ryan Newman at all. He had to do what he had to do. Jeff Gordon was in position to get in. But you know what? Ryan Newman, 11th or better, and he was in, and that's what he did. And now we have 4 guys in it. Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, Joey Logano, and Newman. So it's going to be interesting to watch. Marcos Ambrose, possibly his final top 10 of the year of his NASCAR career, if he doesn't even come back next year, which it seems like he's going to run the road course races since he has off weeks for the Australian V8 supercars during those events. So be interesting to see if he comes back to NASCAR. But as for the race, Kevin Harvick, he just flat-out dominated once again. Incredible run by that 4 team. There is no reason why he can't win this championship when he's running like this. He's won 3. I forgot what the stat was exactly. I'm sure Kyle knows it by heart. He led 264 laps on Sunday. And he didn't really have much competition all day. Brad Keselowski, he didn't have the best of cars. He finished 4th and came up short once again. And Matt Kenseth, I really thought he had it there at the end of the race. And the restarts just really, Kevin Harvick pulled out, and he was able to get ahead by about a second within 2 laps on the restart. And on the long run, by the time anyone was able to run competitive speeds with him, they were a couple of seconds back already. So that was just a crazy race overall. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, there were spots where it could have been better, obviously. The competition was amazing, though. And Kurt Busch, I was very impressed with. With all the chaos that's been going around Kurt Busch's name this weekend, the allegations, they slammed his ex-girlfriend's head onto the wall. He performed very well this weekend, nearly led a few laps, was running up front, finished 7th on Sunday. So I was impressed by that. But what I wasn't impressed by was Carl Edwards. Carl Edwards, it's his final year of Roush Fenway Racing. Everyone knows that. But he didn't run like he thought he would. He came into Phoenix with very high hopes, and he just didn't have that good of a car. He was struggling all weekend long. He finished 15th, which isn't bad. he needed a lot better of a finish. And it goes to show that this is why Carl Edwards is leaping rounds for Illinois Racing. They're not capable of running well this year, and I don't see much of a turnaround for them next year.
And joining us on the phone is now Kyle, and I'm going to throw it over to him for his thoughts on the Sprint Cup Series race from this past Sunday.
Yeah, pretty much Kevin Harvick couldn't even be stopped. I mean, that car was on rails. And even after that first run of the race when he was, I think he was second, he just, after that car just took off like a rocket and just was gone the rest of the day. And like you said, Joseph, I think Jeff Gordon, I mean, he couldn't do any more. I mean, the four car was just that good and just couldn't even stay up with him. I mean, I think Jeff Gordon had a good car, but not the winning car. And he said himself in the post races that, you know, that four car was in his own zip code. So just, you know, and for Jeff Gordon, I mean, when you think of Jeff Gordon, you think of Texas, of course, what happened there. And, you know, I mean, I always say it was hard racing between him and Brad. And then, you know, the move on you know, with Ryan Newman and Kyle Larson, I mean, Newman is doing all he can because he gives that up. He doesn't get that spot. I mean, he's pretty much, he's going to race for pride at Homestead, and it'll be Jeff Gordon instead. So I think it's a good, you know, he did what he had to do. You know, to get up there, you know, he stayed consistent. And guys, also, Denny Hamlin and Joey Logano as well. I mean, at one point in the race, they're almost written off. When we had those long green flag runs, and Denny Hamlin got lapped, and that car was really handling bad after that. After Denny got trapped in the back, and then of course Joey Logano with the speeding penalty, and that really hurt his speed, because, like, you know, you get back in traffic, it's just so hard to pass a Phoenix, and unless you're up in the front, you're absolutely flying like Kevin Harvick. It was a good race. I mean, it wasn't so much for the lead. I mean, Kevin Harvick pretty much just had it in check and did everything he had to do to get to Homestead. And it was expected as well. And but like I said, with the comebacks that Denny Hamlin and Ryan Newman and Joey Logano had to do, you know, they did everything they did. you know, they got out of Phoenix, got to Homestead, and, you know, we'll have a new Sprint Cup champion come Sunday.
And, Glenn.
I knew it was coming to me. I thought the race was all right. I mean, you know, passing, good passing and all that. But, you know, Ryan Newman's bold move at the end of the race, I mean, you definitely need to take chances. And, hate the fact that, you know, that move bumped Jeff Gordon out of the top four drivers, but, you know, in this type of situation, you got to do what you got to do, and Newman was able to pull it off pretty well. You know, now we go to Homestead with, you know, four different drivers, which, by the way, each manufacturer is represented here because we have two Chevrolets, a Ford and a Dodge, or excuse me, Toyota, not a Dodge, that will be going for the title. And the funny thing is that Denny Hamlin has the advantage because he has two wins here at Homestead. Harvick has zilch, Newman has nada, and Logano has zero wins as well. So really, it looks like all signs are pointing to Denny Hamlin to win the championship. But, and this is a big but, if Kevin Harvick brings that same car that he dominated with at Kansas, he dominated with at a few other tracks, then he's going to be your champion. If Denny Hamlin brings that same car he won that was so dominant also, he could win. But also, keep this in the back of your head, guys. It could happen where all four of these drivers have a problem, like say an accident, and then it's going to be the Wounded Warriors battle for the title. So really, I don't know who's going to win. I mean, the fan favorite is Harvick. The stats say Hamlin. Some people want Ryan Newman. If Ryan Newman wins this championship, I think it'd be pretty big because he has goose egg wins this year. Meanwhile, the rest of them, Harvick, Hamlin, and Logano have wins. So, you know, I don't know. I really don't know who's going to win the title.
All right, and that actually leads us into our next discussion. And I'm going to put you all on the spot here. And There's four drivers. You have Logano, Harvick, Newman, and Hamlin. Which of them are going to win the championship that you think and why? Starting with Joseph.
Kevin Harvick. Kevin Harvick has been by far the strongest of these four candidates throughout the year. I believe Joey Logano will be very strong at Homestead, but I think Harvick is better at the intermediate tracks, and he's just been so fast at these tracks. His picker will have to be perfect, though. That has been a struggle for him throughout the year. And he does have three teammates that will be in the race. They're going to be running up front. And I'm assuming that they're going to be helping him block around his competitors. So if I'm Kevin Harvick, I'm hoping that Tony Stewart and Kurt Busch are right up there contending for a top 10, so that way Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, and Ryan Newman won't be in the midst of it. Because all you need to do is beat those three drivers. You don't need to win the race. I think Kevin Harvick can have a solid run.
Moving over to Kyle.
I agree with Joseph. I think Kevin Harvick will win the championship, and I'll give you my analysis here. Guys, we have four drivers. We have Harvick, we have Logano, we have Denny Hamlin, and we have Ryan Newman. And by the way, you can see my Ryan Newman piece on the site when you get a chance. I just want to throw it out there. But breaking down these four teams, think of horsepower. I know I always bring this up, but this is so crucial to how many victories that the Penske and Hendrick and Hendrick affiliated cars have won. Guys, a Hendrick or Penske engine has won the last 13 Cup races. That's unbelievable. They have been just on top of their game right now. And, you know, and with JGR, Joe Gibbs Racing, they only have two wins on the season. They have one with Denny Hamlin at Talladega. And then, of course, the whole tire issue is ping at Auto Club with Kyle Busch. And then, of course, with RCR, Richard Childress Racing, you know, they don't have a win, but they do have, the engine has a win with A.J. Allmendinger and Watkins Glen. So, you know, give or take, it's a road course. So when I thought about my pick, I thought that, you know, I think horsepower is going to be, you know, power, having power to mash the throttle down and run fast times, you're going to need it come Sunday. And unless JGR is going to shock me or RCR is really going to do something, I just don't see it happening for either Denny Hamlin or Ryan Newman. And keep in mind, guys, that, you know, Ryan Newman still does not have a win on the season, which is remarkable. And with what's going on, I'm not done yet, but okay. But what I'm saying is, with what's going on, I think right now Kevin Harvick, his main competitor is Joey Logano. I think it's a two-horse race right now.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Joey Logano is definitely going to have a good run this weekend. I mean, he did well in the intermediate tracks throughout the year. I'm pretty sure all but one or two of his wins came at intermediate tracks this year. So he's been flat out flying at these tracks. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he captures a championship. He's been very consistent. If he doesn't win, he's in the top five, and that's what you need. Kevin Harvick, on the other hand, if he doesn't win, he's outside of the top 10. And that's something you need to look out for this weekend. But if both of those guys struggle, I think that Ryan Newman is going to be right there at the end of this thing like he is every week. He's always struggling in the first half of the race, if you notice. He usually runs around 15th to 20th. But as the race goes on, he starts moving up the field, and that's when he breaks into the top 10 and sometimes even the top 5.
Some interesting stuff, and I'm going to throw it over to Glenn and give us his pick.
All right, well, I don't really have a dog in this fight because none of my Hendrick guys are in there, but you guys overlooked something very interesting about Kevin Harvick. Kevin Harvick's pit crew has been sugar honey iced tea this year. And if you know what I'm trying to say, then you guys will know exactly what I mean. They have made mistakes that have cost Harvick races, and it has come back to bite them at certain times. There's only one pit crew this year that has had, you know, 12-second or 11-second pit stops, and that's Denny Hamlin. To me, Hamlin comes in, as I said, with a slight advantage, having two wins at Homestead over Harvick, Newman, and Logano. And I really think that if Hamlin is on his A game and is out there in the race lead, I have a feeling Denny Hamlin is going to win this title.
Okay. And, you know, I'm going to kind of go through all four of these drivers here. You know, Denny Hamlin, they've been off and on all year long. It's definitely going to be interesting to see how they're going to do at Homestead. But as Glenn said, you know, he does have a couple wins there. You know, will he steal the deal? I don't know. I think it'll be interesting. I think it's going to be up there, but I really don't think that he's going to be contending. And as for Ryan Newman, you know, Joseph said earlier that team just hasn't been good on horsepower all year long. So, you know, I think he's going to finish probably fourth out of four of these drivers, and I think Hamlin's probably going to finish third out of four. Now, the next two drivers, you know, I have no idea. I mean, it's going to be a tight, tight battle all day on Sunday between Kevin Harvick and Joey Logano. You know, I can't really choose one of these because, I mean, how can you? They've been so dominant all year long. But, you know, I think the driver that's going to finish behind Joey Logano will be Kevin Harvick. You know, I just have a feeling that they're going to have some type of issue during the race. You know, they've been up there. They should have had more wins than they have, but they've always had a mechanical problem or some other type of issue, a bad pit stop. So I think that they're going to run into some trouble, and I think that he's not going to be able to get it done. And the driver that I'm choosing, I'm going to pick Joey Logano. You know, having a fantastic year in that number 22 car. This is the first season where Logano has won two or more victories in a year. You know, he keeps improving and improving after every year. And so, you know, I think he's going to improve even more, and I think he's going to finally get that victory at Homestead and win the championship.
And, guys, I just want to add something quick. You know the statues in Homestead and everything going in this weekend? Just rip them up and throw them out the window. I just don't think it's going to matter. I think, you know, this one race, I mean, I don't think it matters what your previous track record is, whether, you know, if you've won there or not. Or anyway, I just think, you know, it's going to be a, you know, take it all and lay it on the line Sunday, and, you know, whoever comes out first is the champ.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. You can't go bypass that, like you said. Number one, there's no way to, really, because you have new rules packets this year. They haven't been to Homestead since last year. They haven't been there for the new high speed that these cars are flying every weekend. It's probably going to be a track record this year. Kevin Harvick's winning nearly every single pole now. So, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if you're right. And you just can't go bypass that. Yeah, Denny Hamlin has a win at Homestead. But you know what? Joe Gibbs Racing, as you pointed out this week, Kyle, they have been so bad at these intermediate tracks. They struggle with horsepower on these at these events, and they just don't have the speed to contend with the Hendrick guys and the Penske guys on a weekly basis. And another thing to mention is the fact that we don't have a Hendrick driver fighting for a championship. Hendrick was probably the most dominant team this year besides Team Penske. But guess what? They're not in this championship. So I'm curious to see how they're going to rebound next year and whether or not they're going to be able to rebound. But I think they will. And I think they're going to do very well. And then it comes the question about Casey Kane. Does he need a new crew chief? Does Jimmy Johnson need crew chief? So there's a lot to go on at Hendrick Motorsports, I think, that we're going to see play out very soon.
And, Joseph, keep in mind, you know, I mean, there's no Hendrick cars, but there's still a Hendrick engine with Kevin Harvick and Stuart Haas racing.
Yep, very true. And do you think those engines are going to play out to be pivotal change for the championship? Do you think that's something that's going to be a match?
I mean, it's going to be business as usual, I think. You know, I keep saying that. I think it's, you know, Hendrick and Penske have been the top two this year. And I know I keep saying it, but that's, you know, that's what has happened. It's been a Penske or a Hendrick-affiliated car that has won most of the races. So I think, you know, it's going to be a battle between the two come Sunday.
All right, and I guess we're ready to move on. So now we're going to go into our Homestead Miami Speedway preview for this weekend's finale. It's going to be an interesting one. And first of all, I'm going to throw it over to Joseph, give us his predictions on this weekend.
Yeah, I think that you're going to see a non-chase driver win the race. I think that's going to come down to a guy like Matt Kenseth and Brad Keselowski. That's my opinion. I think these two guys are very determined to win this weekend, especially Matt Kenseth. He doesn't have a win at all this year. I know how badly he wants to win. I've spoken to him multiple times this year, and he feels like the team has what it takes to win. It's just a matter of locking it up, and they've not been able to do that this year. They have shown speed. They've been the fastest Joe Gibbs Racing car on a weekly basis, but they just haven't been able to seal the deal, which is crazy considering he's a champion. And for a guy like Brad Keselowski, you've seen him go at it so hard this year. He's very disappointed that he's not going to be racing for the championship. You can see him You can see him on Twitter right now, actually. He was notably upset today about not being part of the media activities. But you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if a guy like Kurt Busch or Jamie McMurray captures a victory. However, Kyle Larson, he's incredibly good at these intermediate tracks. By far, it's his specialty, I think. And he's running the triple this weekend. He's running Truck Race Nationwide and Cup. I think before those laps, he's going to be the man to beat on Sunday.
Interesting. And now I'm going to turn over to Glenn to give us his prediction.
Homestead is one of those really interesting tracks. I mean, you know, when they added the progressive banking, it made this track a lot more fun than its flatter self back in 2002. This track, you know, this is a really difficult track to make predictions for because, you know, for the past couple of years, you know, drivers didn't have to, you know, win the race to win the championship. They just had to finish somewhere or better, you know, i.e. Jimmy Johnson or Matt Kenseth or Jeff Gordon, any of those other guys. And really, I think we're going to see, you know, a very crazy race come Sunday. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if we see some very controversial moves that could end up overshadowing the championship. In fact, I think after Sunday night, you're probably going to see the NASCAR fans split down the middle. You'll have the ones that are extremely happy about who won, and then the ones who are very unhappy. And you might see a couple of fights break out on Twitter. Me, I'm just going to break out the popcorn and check out those fights because sometimes they can be quite entertaining. In terms of who's good here, it used to be a Roush house, really. I mean, Carl Edwards used to own this place a little bit. Denny Hamlin has won here, as I said. Jimmy Johnson has won here. It's really a cornucopia of different drivers. Really, I don't know who's going to win this, but you may be right. It could be a non-chase driver. In fact, I think my sleeper pick or the dark horse in this, how about Martin Truex Jr.? I mean, he was really good at Phoenix, and I would not be surprised to see Truex Jr. in victory lane at the end of Homestead.
Some interesting stuff. And before we send it over to Glenn for his open report, I'm going to send it over to Kyle to give us his thoughts on Homestead.
Yeah, this is going to be a crazy race come Sunday. I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. I mean, the winner could come down to being the champion, but I don't see it like that. I kind of agree with Joseph. I think it will be a non-chaser winning this weekend. You know, when I think of Homestead, there's three things I think of. You got to run at Homestead. You got to run high, wide, and handsome. You got to run that high lane. And three names come to mind when I think of that. Actually, four, because Glenn brought one up. It's Kyle Larson, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Also Jeff Gordon as well. I think he's been running the high lane a little bit as well. And, of course, Martin Truex Jr. But I think Sunday at the end of the night, after when the champion's about to be crowned, I think you're going to see a new winner in victory lane. And for the first time this season and the first time ever in the 42 of Kyle Larson. He's just outstanding at Homestead. I mean, about the nationwide race won last year. Got caught out. While everybody else pit it and bragged to the Lowski passed away. But other than up to that point, had the car to beat. And like Joseph said, during all three series this weekend, and I expect him to contend in all three races. And who knows, I mean, you think about it, I mean, he could win. He can really have the chance to pull off a sweep, if you think about it, in his number 42 machine all three nights. So I think, you know, Kyle Larson's the guy you want to keep an eye on, for sure. You know, he loves running that high lane, and this chase, you know, he's been the best non-chaser out there. You know, like the race in Chicagoland and Kansas and Charlotte, I mean, he's had some of the best cars that have been capable of winning, just have not sealed the deal yet. And I think we will see a non-chaser win on Sunday. And, you know, and like I said, I mean, either it's going to be a non-chaser, you can see, or it's going to be the champion winning the race. Whatever happens is going to be absolutely spectacular, and I think there's definitely a lot to look forward to come Sunday.
All right. Well, you know, I think it's going to be interesting. Some very good picks. I'm going to say Joey Logano. I think they're going to be up there. And as I said when we were going over our chase grid, I just think that he's going to be really fast, and he's going to get it done. So, well, it'll be interesting to see what all happens this weekend. And that'll do it for our NASCAR discussion, but now I'm going to send it over to Glenn for our open wheel report. So take it away.
Thank you very much. And this weekend, wow, the championship, if you think the championship is tied to the Sprint Cup Series, F1 just got that much tighter. Just this past week, the F1 Series was racing the Formula One Grande Prix of the Petrobras to Brazil 2014, or the Brazilian GP. And Nico Rosberg, who started on the pole, ended up winning the race, with his teammate Lewis Hamilton finishing second. In fact, Lewis Hamilton tried very hard to get around Rosberg, but kept making the same dang mistake in turn one, and even spun out at one point. And so this is Rosberg's, I believe, Rosberg's fourth win of the year, which also snaps Lewis Hamilton's consecutive win deal. So let's see what the finish in order and see where your favorite driver finished, and also take a look at the championship points. Nico Rosberg and Lewis Hamilton won the race, and you probably heard this all the way from Brazil, but Felipe Massa, car number 19, the Williams Mercedes, finished third on the podium. And I bet you heard the fans singing his praises, which also harks back to the days of when Ayrton Senna won the race here. And I'll tell you one thing. Brazil has some excellent fans. Jenson Button finished fourth. Sebastian Vettel finished fifth. Fernando Alonso finished sixth. No news on his stuff yet. Kimi Raikkonen finished seventh. Eighth, Nico Hülkenberg. Ninth was Kevin Magnussen. And Valtteri Bottas rounded out the top 10. Further on back we go. Daniel Cavendish finished 11th. Pastor Maldonado finished 12th. Jean-Éric Vergne finished 13th. Andrew Perez, 16th. Sergio Perez and Adrian Sutil finished 16th. Two cars failed to finish the race. Roman Grosjean, because of a power unit failure late in the race. And then an odd one, Daniel Ricciardo in car number 3, the Red Bull Renault, on lap 39, the front suspension broke on his car. So that relegated him back to last place. Also, some minor notes here. Caveat did qualify P14th, but I believe dropped 7 grid spots. Because he had to do the remainder of an engine change penalty that was carried over from the previous round in Circuit of the Americas. Sergio Perez had qualified P17, but withdrew 7 positions for causing a collision at the previous round when he and Sutil ended up crashing on the opening lap. So, where does this put everybody in the championship? Well, it's basically between Rosberg and Lewis Hamilton. They are separated by just 17 points. Now, there's a couple of scenarios here, but here's some of the big ones. Nico Rosberg can't afford to finish any lower than 6th place. If he finishes 6th or lower, Lewis Hamilton is your champion. If Lewis Hamilton finishes anywhere in the top five, Lewis Hamilton will have to be within 4 to 5 positions, or excuse me, 3 to 4 positions of his teammate Rosberg in order to win the title. So, for example, if Rosberg wins the race, Lewis Hamilton has to be second to get the title. If he's third, then he loses it. If Rosberg finishes second, then Lewis Hamilton has to be third to win it and fourth to lose it. I mean, there's so many little scenarios here that are going to play out. And with a double point situation, that's what's going to happen. Now, if this was a regular point a weekend where they didn't award double points, all that Rosberg would have to do is just win the thing, and he would actually clinch the title with Lewis Hamilton going back to second. So it all comes down to the race that will be happening a week from now. It is the Formula One Etihad Airways Abu Dhabi Grand Prix at the Yas Marina Circuit. And, of course, since next week will be the last episode of it, we will actually have two previews for this, including the championship preview. 55 laps will make up the running, and, of course, the lap record here was set by Sebastian Vettel in 2009, a 140.279. I don't believe we're going to hit that speed because the engines are a tad bit slower. There are two DRS activation points and zones. The first activation point, if I can find it here, is going to be at the start of turn number 7, and then about halfway down the back straightaway, that's when you can activate the DRS. And there'll be a speed trap at the end, by the way, so we're definitely going to see some good speed there. And then the next detection point will be in turn number 9, and as you make your way to turn number 10, there will be the second DRS activation zone. So look for some passing on the long straightaway. Now we're over to the IndyCar series, and as Joseph brought up at the beginning of the show, yes, AJ Foyt has undergone bypass surgery. 4-time Indianapolis 500 champion, AJ Foyt has successful triple bypass heart surgery today in Houston. Foyt had been admitted to Bayer St. Luke's Medical Center on Friday with chest pain. The initial tests were inconclusive. And Floyd is currently still in the hospital until Monday. Now, remember, everybody, last year Floyd had back surgery and had his left hip and right knee replaced in separate surgeries, stemming from his 1990 crash in the Road America circuit in 2012. He battled back from a life-threatening staph infection after surgery to remove bone spurs in his artificial left knee. He had replaced in 2006. So here at Sprint Speedway Digest, we wish AJ Foyt a very speedy recovery. And now, we're ordering aero kits for Honda and Chevrolet. Get them while they're hot. That's right, everybody. The Verizon IndyCar Series entrance teams, that is, have submitted a 25% deposit of the $75,000 package price with their aerodynamic body kit, a bodywork kit order to the suppliers of Chevrolet and Honda. Manufacturer track testing of the prototype components opened on October 6th and will continue through January 18th, which is the same date as production will ramp up to meet the March 1st deadline for one road and street course short oval kit to be delivered to each entrance. Now, the Speedway Aero Kit, according to the IndyCar timeline, will be delivered on April Fool's Day, April 1st. The balance of the package cost is due before delivery. So, at this point, if you put a deposit on the body kit, then you will have to you'll have to cough up the rest before these things can be delivered. And the initial team on-track test is scheduled for March 16th and 17th at Barber Motorsports Park in Birmingham, Alabama, for the road and street course package, which will make its competition debut in March at the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. So that means that the Brazil race in early March is going to be the last race that we're going to see this current configuration of the DW12 before we put the aero kit on these cars. We are not sure what these aero kits are going to look like, but apparently these are going to help with speed, help with handling, and also help with the look of the race car. So that's your look at the IndyCar series and F1 series. So many things that are going to be happening over the off season, and of course, if you follow me on Twitter at IndyCarGL2048, I'll try to keep you up to date on all the changes that take place. Back to you, Brett. not even there?
Huh?
Oh, there you are. I was throwing it back to you.
All right. Well, that concludes the show tonight. Hope you all enjoyed, and come back and listen to us for our final show of 2014 next week. Just a little note that we don't know when we're going if we're going to be back on here next year, but we're going to try and work on it. So thank you all for listening tonight, and on behalf of me, Kyle, Joseph, and Glenn, and myself, thank you all, and have a great night and a great week.